and some stuff like that. And so next week is be exciting as well. But after that, we're going to start a new series on the Sermon on the Mount. That's going to be really fun, and so you look forward to that. But tonight's going to be a little different. We're going to talk about last week we looked at our mission statement, okay? And it's a statement that defines who we are as individuals and as a local body of believers. And it helps us answer the question, why does Living Hope Bryan exist? And what is our statement, okay? We are... Oh, come on, we got to start over. That was just last week, okay? We can't remember something that short that quick, all right? All right, ready? We are a Christian fellowship striving to love God and to love people, okay? And that came from in that statement, as well as the Great Commandment and the Great Commission, we're a challenge to a personal call to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And corporately, because it said in there that he said to them, go make disciples. So corporately, we're called to go and we're called to make disciples. Okay? And so as a body of Living Hope Bryan, we are called for a purpose. Okay? And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight. Tonight we're going to talk and look at another aspect of vision, how God sees the church. Because that's really, really important. Because then if you don't get the heart of God for the church, you'll never get the heart of God for the church as well. Okay, so we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. And we're also going to take a look back at where we've come from and review some of the spiritual markers that have been set by our founding church. See, we call them the essentials, okay? When we began Living Hope, when we began going into the core groups, there was a group that got together, the leadership team, and came up with some essentials, the things that made a healthy church. And so we're going to look at some of those tonight. And just as a disclaimer, right, it's going to be a list of things, okay? And we prayed in the prayer thing tonight is that I pray that tonight's message doesn't just become a list. Okay, these things that we're going to talk about, these essentials, and hopefully we're going to go through them as quick as we can. We're going to cover them as thorough as we can. But bottom line is those things are very, very powerful if we'll let God use them and open our minds. Okay, all right. So for many of us here tonight, the church is an important part of our lives. Y'all agree? Who are those? Church is important to you guys. Okay, all right. We can't imagine ourselves doing anything else, right? But for some of you here tonight, you may still be in evaluation mode. Okay, you may be here visiting to see if you want to be a part of what God's doing here. But whether or not you decide to be a part of Living Hope Bryan or not is not the important decision for you tonight. But you do need to become an active member in somebody, a believer, somewhere. Amen? For our members tonight, I hope will serve as a reminder to how God sees the church and what we will see as essential to the health and growth of this body. See, God puts each member in here as it pleases him. It's no accident you're here tonight, okay? Whether you're a member or you're a visitor, there's no accident, because I believe in a sovereign God that knows everything, okay? There's no accident that you're here tonight. And if you are a member of this church, you are a vital piece of the puzzle, okay? You're not just to be sitting on the table on your own. We need you, okay? And so what we're going to look at is how God sees the church. And there's no way that I can totally give you a picture of the way God sees the church, but there's a couple of things in Scripture that we're going to look at. The first is God sees the church as the bride of Christ. And I've been to some weddings, and man, I've seen it just lately. I went to some a wedding, and actually it was Drew and Jesse's. And man, when Jesse walked through that front door, I'm going to tell you what, Drew's eyes was on nothing but Jesse. You know? And so you think about that, because it's the bride of Christ. I mean, and with that, I mean, that anticipation, that love, that hope, and future. I mean, just everything that your whole future is coming for you, and he cannot take his eyes off of his bride. And that's the way Christ is with the church, okay? He can't take his eyes off us because he loves us and he wants the best for us because we are the bride of Christ. Y'all turn over to Ephesians 5, 25 through 32. We're going to read, and that's in the context that Paul's talking to husbands, but out of that we get a picture of how Christ relates to the church, okay? We're going to look at that. Starting in Ephesians 5, verse 25. It says, husbands, and if you don't have a Bible, there's one in front of you, okay, and you can take one home with you if you want to. It says, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present herself to him as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united with his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I'm talking about Christ and the church. So he's using this marriage, husbands and wife, but he's talking about Christ and the church. And so as you look at that, what are some things that we can learn? What does Christ love? He loves the church, okay? And he gave himself up for her. But I want to ask you a question. As we look at all these things that Christ is for the church, does the church mean that much to you? Okay? Because I really believe that we're going to find that we're supposed to have the same heart of Christ. Okay? The same way that God loves the church, we're supposed to love the church. Okay? He loves her. Do you love church? Is church a burden? He gave himself up for her. And when you get married and you're a guy or a girl, you are no longer single. You have gave up yourself. You're a different unit. You're one flesh. You've got something else. And so that's what Christ did. He gave up his deity for the church. Okay? He gave up the fact that he was God. He came down and he still got, but he came down to earth and walked this earth for the church. What are you willing to give up for the church? Do you feel the same way about the church? You're willing to give yourself for it? And like I said before, he can't take his eyes off of us. You know, Christ cannot take his eyes off of us. And so is church something that you're focused on? It's something that's a part of who you are? Or is it just an add-on? Okay? And another thing that he did in there, he cares for and protects her, as we notice. Okay? So that's another thing about the church. I'm asking you, do you care for or protect the church? Or do you even care about the church? You know, and I know there's some of y'all that do, but in this room, some of those by our actions, we show that we don't care about the church, okay? And we got to protect her. Sometimes God people talk bad about the church. We got to protect. We got to be the protecting one for the church. See, Christ doesn't do things just for his benefit, okay? And he's committed to her. And I mean, in this picture of one flesh is just an amazing picture of Christ and the church. Because it says, just as Christ loved the church, for this reason a man leave his father and mother, and they become one flesh. We as the church can't get away from Christ if we want to. Okay? Because the church isn't this building. Okay? Y'all understand that, right? When I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the people that have accepted Christ as their personal Savior and are committed their life to following him. And he is their Lord and their Savior. That's the church, okay? That's the church. It's not this building, okay? And so Christ's love for his church is not flighty. He's tender and patient. He's committed. He intercedes on our behalf before the Father. He nourishes, cherishes, sustains, and protects. He does all those things for us. And you may say, well, Alan, I am committed to the universal church. You know, that's the whole full bunch of believers. They're all the believers that there are, okay? He said, but I'm not so committed to the local church. You know, I've kind of had some problems with some local church. You know, and the only thing I have to say to you about that is that's not good, okay? Because I look at it from my perspective. I have a wife, right? If you have problems with my wife, at some point, you're going to have a problem with me, okay? Even if you don't have a problem with me, at some point, you and I are not going to be able to fellowship as closely as we could if you love my wife or even cared about my wife. See, that's the same way with the Christ of the church. You can't say you love Christ and you don't want anything to do with the church. That's impossible, okay? And so there's this book, and I'll tell you, I'm going to recommend this book to all y'all. I'm going to read a couple of quotes out of it tonight. The Stop Dating the Church by Josh Harris. Joshua Harris, a really good book, and I want to read this one quote from there. It says, "But is it either wise or right for a person to be linked spiritually to the universal church yet have no connection to the local church? Is it even possible? Wouldn't that be like telling your new bride that while your love is true and you have other priorities, your heart, of course, is all hers, but as for the rest of you, you'll be in and out? I propose that the sincere followers of Christ, the Bible allows, for four sincere followers of Christ, the Bible allows no disconnect. If you and I identify with the love and love the idea of church, we must consider how we can identify with and love an actual church." Okay? Just like I said tonight, it doesn't matter if you come here or not. But as a believer in Christ, I'm going to just tell you that I believe that you need to be actively involved in a body of believers, and you need to be a member of that church, okay? Because that's another aspect of the church. It's the body of Christ. In Ephesians 1, 22, 23, it tells us, "And God placed all things under his feet," that's Jesus, okay? "And appointed him to be the head over everything for the church." So Jesus is the head of the church, which is his body. See, the church, the people, us, the ones, the saints, we are the body of Christ. We are the hands and feet of Christ, okay? The fullness of him who fulfills everything. And again, in Romans 12, 4 through 6, it says, "Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others." See, some people don't believe that. They don't believe that they belong to all the others. They believe they can just accept Christ and do what they want to. No, there's some accountability that comes with becoming a believer in Christ, okay? We all have different gifts according to the grace given us. If you've got anything to offer the church, it's because of the grace of God, okay? The fact that you're even in the church is because of the grace of God. And if you're going to grow in the church, it's going to be because of the grace of God. The grace of God is going to do it all, okay? And so that's it. So the grace of God is the reason you're even sitting here tonight, okay? Another quote from Josh Harris's book. It says, "A local church is a visible, tangible, real-world expression of the body of Christ." See, we are. That's how the world's going to know about our Jesus, is because we're it. Whether you like it or not, the church is the tool that Jesus chose to be the evangelistic, to evangelize the gospel, okay? And said, "Of course, every believer is part of the universal church," writes Chuck Colson, "but for any Christian who has a choice in the matter, failure to cleave to a particular church is failure to obey Christ," okay? And Charles Spurgeon agreed that for a Christian, failure to join a church is disobedience. He compared such disconnected Christians to good-for-nothing bricks. I mean, you think about it. Bricks are made to build walls. Bricks are made to build together. They're built something. One brick laying on the ground by himself, even though it's still a brick, is useless. Okay? And basically, that's what Spurgeon is saying, is that a Christian not connected to a body, not connected to a purpose, not connected for something, is like a good-for-nothing, worthless brick. Okay? And so if you're out there on your own, you're like a worthless brick, okay? But and I'm trying to get you to see the church like God sees the church, because I know for a fact that the church is where it's at. It's going on in the church. What else can you invest your life in that has the return that serving God has? You know, we just heard in our prayer time this young girl that was here last, like one of the praise dancers. We just heard that Barney and them knew them, and they knew her when she wasn't in church. You know, she was investing her life in something else. Well, she began to invest her life in the church, and now she's here serving God and all this stuff. And I'm thinking, praise God! What else can you invest your life in that gives you that kind of return? Okay, amen. All right, okay. Just want to know we're on the same page, all right? Because the strongest argument I know for why you and I should care about the church is that Jesus does. You see, and we're called to be imitators of God in Ephesians 5, 1, okay? We are to be conformed to the image of his son, Romans 8, 29. So we should love the things that Jesus loves. Many of us say we want God's heart for the poor and the lost, but shouldn't we also want God's heart for the church? See, we can't have just the heart for the poor and the lost and not have the heart for the church. If Jesus loves the church, you and I should too. It's that simple. It's really, really, really that simple. And it's vital that we see the church as God sees it. Because if you don't have buy-in to Christ's desire for the church, you surely will never buy into the vision of a single body of believers. So if you don't see the church like God sees the church, this church ain't going to mean nothing to you. Because when times get hard, you're gonna bolt. Okay, because there's a commitment. And so what we're going to look at tonight, we're going to look at some things called the essentials for health and growth. And these are things, this is that list I was telling you about. You know, we're going to go down a list. We're going to get to it as much as we can. We're going to talk about the membership agreement and things. But, and for some of y'all that aren't members of this church, you're going to learn something about Living Hope tonight, okay, where you can make a great decision if you want to become a member. This list came from the leadership team of Living Hope prior to forming the core group. See, we got together and we prayed for a month, and Butch asked, okay, what are some things, because a lot of us came from dead churches, okay, and he said, what are some things that are essential to Living Hope? What are some things that Living Hope that's impacted your life? And he did the whole team, said, what are some things that impacted your life that if you had to start another church, you just couldn't do without? Okay? And so a lot of us came from dead churches, and so a lot of these are guards from even being a dead church. Okay? So, the first one. And we were told to make a list to list things that enhance the overall health of the church. And the whole thing about this is to maintain unity. Each church was asked to adopt these essentials. See, in our core group meetings, we were sitting there thinking, oh, we're going to make decisions. We said, wait a minute, our essentials say we need to do this. So these essentials really have dictated kind of where we're at even right now, okay? And they will probably dictate where we go in the future as well. And next week, we're going to look at our vision points and things like that. But the whole desire behind the essentials was to start healthy churches. The last thing we wanted to do was start a church with a split. I mean, the fact that we're able to start a church with 200 people, a healthy church, praise God for that, huh? Amen. I mean, we got to have an amen for that because that's all God. Because that just doesn't happen by accident. The first one is a membership agreement. And I remember when I first came to Living Hope and they said, I need to go to a membership class. I said, man, for what? You know? Where I came from, whenever you decide you want to join a church, you just walk down the aisle, stood there, and everybody said, yeah, they're going to take care of you. And you're a member of the church right then. Membership agreement, that didn't mean nothing to me. So you got to go to a class on top of that? Yeah? And I'm going to tell you what, that's probably been the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I went to that class. And what happens, and the reason for that is because it helps protect and develop unity. Okay, because something we're all agreeing on something, and we're gonna and hoping this don't get boring for you, but we've got this membership book. It's and I'm gonna read out of it a little bit and let y'all know. Some of y'all have transferred your membership over from Living Hope. It's still binding. Everything I'm gonna tell you tonight is still binding. All right. So if for some reason this is gonna be a good time for maybe some of y'all to say, "Ooh, man, I ain't doing that." This might be a checkpoint for some of you as members now. But for some of you that aren't members and are wondering, this is gonna tell you what we kind of the things that we kind of expect. Okay, Romans 12:5 is one of the scriptures that starts that we've talked about. Just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we who are many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. And see, that's Romans 12:5. See, that's in the context of Romans 12:1, where it says to offer our bodies as living sacrifices. See, as we offer our bodies as living sacrifices, we become a member of a church, okay? In the context, we've been told to offer our bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. The Apostle Paul shows us that this offering is seen in the body of Christ, as seen here as a member. Just the word member means it's like a limb, okay? Just like Drew talked about, his arm was a member of his body, okay? And that's what they mean by member, literally. Exist to serve the body. Life is found in the body of Christ. You cannot be transformed by the renewing of your mind without the church. Amen? All right? Here at Living Hope Bryan, we honestly expect and believe that everyone God brings to membership connected with our local body is vital and important. We have seen radical life change and healing in intimate, authentic, and caring community. Amen? Amen? Come on now. I know it's happened here. All right, I got a lot of stuff in my hand. I'm not going to be able to jump around. All right? Okay. Y'all going to have to help me out. Because I can't do all this stuff. Never mind, I better get back on track. I'll be in trouble. All right. We use the image of a puzzle to give you a glimpse to how God fits people together here at Living Hope Bryan. Through ministry and community group connection, we teach obedience, equip you for ministry, and send you out to be Christ's representative in a real world. Romans 12:10 captures the essence of what the Lord has developed as he builds his church that we call Living Hope Bryan. It says, be devoted. That's committed and dedicated to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Okay? That's where this stuff comes from. And in his book, The Purpose-Driven Church, Rick Warren says, the difference between being a church attender and a church member is commitment. Attenders are spectators from the sideline. Members get involved in the ministry. Attenders are consumers and members are contributors. Attenders want the benefits of the church without sharing the responsibility. They are like couples who want to live together without committing to marriage. Why is it important to join a local church family? Because it proves you are committed to your spiritual brothers and sisters in reality, not just in theory. Okay? It's not just, you're committed. God wants you to love real people, not ideal people. Okay, and so and that's in our membership book. And so what as a group, what did we and for a little advertisement, every fourth week, Sunday at 3:30, we have a membership class. We'll go through this book. You're not obligated to join or anything. If you want to find out about what you're getting into, we're going to read some of that here in just a minute. So what do you agree to in the membership class? Okay, some of the things. This is a membership agreement. It says, having received Christ as my Lord and Savior through faith alone, and have been biblically baptized by immersion, and being in agreement with the mission and vision of this church for this community and the world, I now feel led by the Holy Spirit to personally unite with Living Hope Baptist Church, Bryan. In doing so, I commit myself to God and to other members of this fellowship to do the following to protect the health of our church family. See, once you get saved, that's a prerequisite. You can't join the, if you never accepted Christ as your Savior, you can't join no church, okay? Because you don't have anything, you really don't have anything to offer yet, okay? Because without the Holy Spirit, we can't do God's work. And so I offer that to you tonight. I mean, if you're here tonight and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, I beg you to do that because I'm going to tell you, it's good stuff, okay? All right? Amen? All right? It's a life-changing experience, amen? It better be, or it ain't real. If it doesn't change your life, it's not real, okay? And so, anyway, one, it says, I will display a growing love for and devotion to God. Okay? So how are we going to do that? This is what you agree to, all y'all members, all right? By learning and obeying His Word. How are you doing on that? How are you learning and obeying His Word? By fellowshipping with other believers. Okay? We do that with, and that's not just our body, but we're out fellowshipping with other believers, the whole body of Christ. By praying to Him. Ouch, huh? We really need to be praying to Him. Every member of this church needs to be a praying member. And that's the goal of the new prayer ministry, is that every 100% of you people are praying all the time. Okay? And when that happens, we will not be able to contain what God's going to be able to do with this group of people. Okay? And by being in awe of His power and His goodness. See what that means? Because in Acts 2:42 it says, they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And everyone kept feeling a sense of awe. See, when the early church gathered, they expected God to show up. See, and that's what I'm saying. We need to come as a group, and you've actually agreed to that, to come and expect God to show up, right? Okay? We expect God to meet us here because we come with a pure heart, contrite spirit, the kind of things that God will not deny, okay, and not despise. I mean, that's the God that we serve, okay? We expect Him to show up. Okay, number two, I will protect the unity of my church family. And how do you do that? By acting in love towards other members. By refusing to gossip or hurt others with my words. You say, Alan, where do you get that? I get it from Scripture. It says, Acts 20, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Acts 2:44. We love because God we love because God loved us first. But if we say that we love God and we don't love each other, we're liars. 1 John 4:19-20. It says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who are listening. That's where it says you shouldn't be gossiping. We didn't say that. Ephesians 4:29 did. Okay? But that's where we get that from, to protect the unity. Okay? And I will be a positive and growing servant of Christ. I mean, you're agreeing to be a servant of Christ. And how do you do that? By developing a servant's heart. Because you sure wasn't born with one. All right? Yeah. Amen? Hey, ain't none of us born with a servant heart. That's something that we have to develop, and it becomes part of who we are, and it just does not come naturally, okay? By discovering my gifts and talents. See, God, in His grace, has gifted every one of y'all in different ways, and just like Drew said, that every one of us has a different gift and a talent, and it's not just for you. It's for the body of Christ. And when you became a Christian, everything of yours became God's, okay? And being equipped to serve by my pastor and teachers. See, you can't just say you're going to be a member forever and not grow. Your pastors and your teachers are going to come next to you and say, "Hey, dude, it's time to get out. It's time to get out of the pew." Okay, and so that's. But you're agreeing to allow us to do that. Okay, being a positive, growing servant for Christ. In 1 Peter 4:10, it says, "Each of you has been blessed with one of God's many wonderful gifts to be used in the service for others. So use your gift well." And in Philippians 2, it says, "Your attitude should be the same as Christ Jesus." And in verse 7 said, but made Himself nothing. He took the very nature of a servant. He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. Because He came, He was God, He made Himself a servant. And so that's what we're to do. Okay, number three, we've already done that one. All right. Number four, but we're moving. That's good. Number four, I will share the ministry responsibility of my church family. Okay? By praying for its health and growth. How many of y'all this week have prayed for the health and the growth of this church? Shame on me and y'all and everybody else, okay? Because that's one of the things that we... Because if we do not keep this church and what God's doing as members of this church, if we can't even pray about it, who else is going to, okay? So we really need to be praying for its health and its growth. And we do that by we share the ministry responsibility by inviting others to attend. You guys are great at that, man. We've had some of these dinners, and boy, I come over there, and three or four of y'all just bringing people. But the reason you're bringing people, because you know God's doing something here. You know, and he could cut it off in a minute if we began to get selfish and things like that, okay? God could cut it off in a minute. But we need to be the one inviting. It's not the mailer's job to get people in here, you know. It's not the newspaper's job. It's our job, because we are going out and bringing people in, okay? By warmly welcome those who visit. And you shy people, it don't matter. You got the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not a spirit of timidity, okay? So we all need to be a welcoming church, because when people come in, they most of the time, if people are on their own and they're invited, they want to know that somebody really is glad to see them, you know? Now, we don't do this welcome where we get everybody up and do that, because I just think that's intimidating, you know? I mean, if you don't have the heart of welcoming people, just this corporate time ain't going to do it, all right? So we need to be a body that welcomes people, okay? To the church, we always thank God for you, mention you in our prayers. And Paul was talking to the church of Thessalonica. And in Luke 14:23, it says, "The master said to the servant, go to the roads and country lanes and urge the people there to come to my house so my house will be full." Okay? We are to go and get folks and bring them to church. So warmly welcome each other in the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you. Then God will be glorified, Romans 15:7. Okay? So the last one, I will support the testimony of my church by attending services faithfully. If we got something going on, we want you to be here, okay? By attending services faithfully and living a godly life. If you're not going to live a godly life, take the T-shirt off, okay? We got some T-shirts. If you're in a bad mood, you don't think you're going to be able to make it through that day without blessing on somebody, take the T-shirt off, okay? Because we want to maintain the witness of this church, okay? We really don't want you to bless anybody out anyway. But if you're going to do it, don't do it without the T-shirt. And by giving generously and regularly, and God has blessed us, you guys are some givers, you know, and we praise you for that. Because the reason we give is because God's been so good to us, right? God don't need our money. He wants everything. He really wants it all, okay? So we see that in Acts 2:45-46, is that selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's the model church that we're after, okay? And in Hebrews 10:25, we're told, "Let us not give up meeting together, as some in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching," okay? We need to hang out with each other. And so that's what we agreed as a member. And if you need another one of those books, if you want to, like, go over your contract again, we could probably get you some. I don't know if we have a whole lot of them. But like I said, anything you agree to at Living Hope, it just follows on down to this Living Hope. Okay? All right? And so we got membership agreement. The second one is ministry involvement. And we already talked about that in the ministry agreement. But we expect people to serve where called and where there's a need. Okay? That's an essential. That came because doing ministry, just coming to church don't do it for you, I can tell you. I did it for years. Being involved in the ministry gets you involved in people's lives, and it gets you out of your own selfish desires, okay? And it helps you develop leaders and servants. We need to have that servant mindset. And it also helps us make disciples. Because me, if I'm not reproducing myself to somewhere, then what's going to happen as we grow, okay? So that's why we have the ministry teams. Tomorrow night, what time? Six. We're going to have ministry fair, okay? So that's why we have ministry teams here. We're going to have a ministry fair tomorrow night. So if you're not plugged into any ministry team, come look at all the ministry teams and see what area that for one, may need the greatest need, okay? If you just don't know where God's calling you to, come and serve where there's the greatest need. Preschool, yeah, that's how we heard that. All right. That was the Lord, preschool. But you know, but if God has laid something on your heart, we've always been open to people starting ministry because of something that God laid on their heart. But don't God ain't gonna lay it on your heart for me to do it. Okay, so if God lays something on your heart, make sure that it's something that He's called you to do, and the body will come and undergird you in that. Okay. So ministry involvement. And this is the one that, man, just blesses my soul. And I put this one on my list when we were doing this. Intergenerational ministry emphasis. How many of y'all like hanging around with those college students? Old people? All right? All right? How many of y'all like hanging around with those old people, college students? Is it a blessing or what, huh? That is probably one of the greatest things that we ever did. And I have learned to be a good father-in-law and things like that, because when y'all started having babies, I learned things that, you know, sometimes the family just wants to be by themselves and they don't want the in-laws over there, you know. I learned that from somebody else. I didn't have to get told that by my son. So I get to learn those kind of things. And some of the things that bother y'all, I put them in my memory bank and I try to not mess up on my own sons and daughters, okay? And so y'all teach me a lot of things. Plus, y'all have energy that I'm not ever going to have again. And y'all are smart. This is awesome, you know. And so I love you guys, man. It keeps me young being a part of your lives, you know. And I have been able to pour into guys and tell them things that I never was able to tell my sons. I'm able to replace the years that the locusts have eaten, okay, because I didn't do it right as a dad. But I get a chance through some of you guys to do that right. And I get to be an answered prayer for some parent, okay. So intergenerational ministry, we're always going to be that. If you join here, you better get ready to meet a bunch of different people. But that does not come naturally. Okay? And we got to guard against that because we got to be intentional and we must model it. But it's one of the best decisions that we've ever made. The other one is structure of the church. We're going to talk about that next week, and the leadership. We're going to get into that a little bit deeper next week, so I'm not going to hit on that tonight. But this other one, biblical accountability. See, if a church loves you, it will hold you accountable. If it truly loves you, because biblical love confronts. See, this is kind of an issue of informal church discipline. It can be one-on-one, and that's the way we like it, one-on-one. And it can actually be done through the preaching of the word. You may be able to hear something from the pulpit, and God already used that, and church discipline gets done by the Spirit of God. See, that's the way we like it. That's the way we like it too, through obedience, okay? But the purpose for reconciliation of the offender is not to... The purpose is for reconciliation of the offender and to not confuse others as what it means to be a Christian. Because if we just allowed you to continue to sin and we knew it was going on and you were a Christian, you're a member of this church, and we didn't say nothing to you about it, it would confuse those that are coming in. And we would be that hypocritical church that we do not want to be, okay? Because we said that we want to be authentic Christians. And I want to read y'all something out of Stop Dating the Church again. Josh Harris, he talks about, he had a list of 9 questions that he would ask when he was going to looking for a church. And this is one, this might blow your mind. Number 9, is this a church that's willing to kick me out? This priority might sound old-fashioned to you, but there's a hard, important truth here. When a person who claims to be a Christian lives in a way that blatantly contradicts all that it means to be a disciple of Christ, a faithful church's responsibility is to begin the process of removing that person from membership and to treat him or her like an unbeliever in the hope that he or she will repent, ultimately to be restored. Okay, that you see that in 1 Corinthians 5 and in 2 Corinthians 2. Okay. This is not harsh or abrupt. This practice is called church discipline and was instituted by Jesus in Matthew 18. See, that's the passage that tells us if your brother sins against you, you go to them one-on-one. If you can't get reconciliation at that point, you bring another brother with you, one that knows, that loves Christ, and he's not on anybody's side. You bring somebody with you. If you can't get reconciliation then you bring them before the church. See, there's a process. And so if you come to me gossiping about somebody, my first thing is going to be, have you done step 1 of Matthew 18? We use Matthew 18 at Living Hope, okay? And so we're going to use that. And so it says, why should you be excited about the potential of being expelled from a church? I gain a wonderful sense of protection in knowing that if I committed a scandalous sin and showed no repentance, my church wouldn't put up with it. They would plead with me to change. They would patiently confront me with God's word. And eventually, if I refused to change, they would lovingly kick me out. Remember that the purpose behind church discipline is first to restore. 400 years ago, Menno Simons wrote, "We do not want to expel any, but rather to receive. Not to amputate, but rather to heal. Not to discard, but rather to win back. Not to grieve, but rather to comfort. Not to condemn, but rather to save." So church discipline is an expression of love. Amen? All right? It's a way to try to restore a sinning brother as well as a way to protect the witness of the church. See, because nobody's feelings out there is more important than the church. Okay, so we're willing to hurt your feelings to get you right with the Lord. And it also says, after all, the power of a church in a community starts with its example. See, because if we had a lot of sin going on in the church, we wouldn't be a good example to the community. As our generation knows too well, hypocrisy destroys the church's witness and leaves its message discredited. A church committed to glorifying God and reaching the lost world will not only have membership, but it will clearly define what the membership requires, and it will want to be able to answer clearly anyone who asks who is truly part of the church and who is not. Discipline is also important when someone begins spreading false teaching. In these cases, discipline guards the church against the damaging effects of heresy. So look for the church that will not only welcome you into membership, but will lovingly hold you to your commitment as a Christian. A church that will love you enough to put you out of the fellowship for the good of your soul. See, that's love. That's love. Biblical accountability. And we're not going to come to you with our opinion. It's always going to be the Word of God. Okay, because that's the only thing that can change. So the next one, small groups. Boy, and we call them community groups and small groups. We want them to be small, you know, about 10 or 12 people. Sometimes they get bigger than that. Like, a lot of times they get bigger than that. Because, man, we, you know why they get bigger than that? Because we love each other. People get together and they do not want to, I'm going to tell you, the community that comes from a community group in a small group session, I can tell you, it will not be duplicated anywhere else. Because that is where the relationship building and true community really happens, okay? This heart connection, honest communication, and life change. You know, I've spoken with a lot of y'all one-on-one. How you doing? Fine. How you doing? Good. Everything going all right? Good. Man, you get into Hope Group, open up prayer quest. Woo, man. If you've got a community group, oh yeah. You get in a community group and you say, hey, we want to be there for you, and you legitimately want to do that, people begin to open up and hurts begin to get healed. Okay? And that's the avenue to do that. Okay? And we believe that is one of the most vital things that we've done. So, but these groups must pursue one another. See, when you become a part of a community group, you are part of that group, and if you don't show up for a while, we're going to come looking for you. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. That's where we get that, in the homes. And we start our community groups the week of September 7th, correct? Okay? All right? Qualified leadership. We're going to talk about that again next week a little bit. But the main, if you're ever thinking that you're going to be a leader at Living Hope, Brian, there's two things, two requirements. Called by the Holy Spirit, and you're a servant. Those are two requirements, okay? The next one, Great Commission and Great Commandment Centered Ministry. And like I told you, we're going on a list. Keep these at the focus because this is a big deal. Great Commission and Great Commandment Centered Ministry. Mission here and around the world. Never become self or church absorbed, but we equip, plan, and budget for loving God and our neighbors locally and to the ends of the earth. See, if you had a vision or a mission that didn't include reaching the ends of the earth, you've already decided to be disobedient to the Great Commission. Okay, so we cannot look past, because we'll see next week, we do have a focused vision of Brian, but it doesn't stop there. Okay, we'll talk about that next week. And so we always are constantly asking ourselves, why are we doing this? As we consider ministry, as it impacts people who need Jesus and people we don't even know yet. See, the decisions that we make now are affecting people we don't even know yet. Maybe, more than likely, people that aren't even in the kingdom yet. Praise the Lord. God's going to use us for that. What are our mission? We are a mission training center as well as always on mission with God. Okay? Along with that mission, then we have what we call intentional discipleship. That's another part of what we do. Intentional discipleship, because we know that we need to be good stewards of the ones that God brings, and we're called to make disciples. So we're going to do some intentional discipleship that's structured and organized for spiritual growth. Okay, and that can be, it's designed to help the believer develop personal intimacy and a real confidence in his word as they live daily in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's what the discipleship classes are for, okay? And we do that through classes. I mean, you got Living by the Book, Experiencing God, we got a new prayer class, we got Foundations. We've got these classes that are designed to make disciples. But also, that's not the only place you're a disciple. We learned this summer that we can do discipleship classes and walk the streets. We can do discipleship classes and do laundromats. See, any time that we serve opportunities outside this wall, we are making disciples. How many of y'all got scared to death a little bit on those times? Okay? Yeah. That's what I'm talking about. We need to stretch each other. See, because it says We, in the intentional discipleship, we want to intentionally create an atmosphere where stepping out in faith is required. Why? Do we just like to see people squirm and people get all uncomfortable? No. The reason we do is in Hebrews 11:6. Because it says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Okay? And if what you're doing does not require any faith, you're not pleasing God. Okay? So we have to be a people that are stepping out in faith in order to please God. Because God is not trying to make us squirm. He wants to use us. He wants us to grow. All right? So in the next one, and so with those, the intentional discipleship, the discipleship classes start on September the 13th. We'll have an Experiencing God class. We will not be able to meet here at St. Michael's because they're doing something. But Experiencing God will meet over in the little gym, what they call it, gymette, whatever, okay, because Experiencing God is 13 weeks. So if you sign up for Experiencing God, we will meet on that night. But if you're not, I think we're going to do some contact visitation because we can't use the facilities. But we already planned on doing discipleship. So we're going to do discipleship. Y'all may just be out doing contact visitation again, okay? So they will start on September 30th. Classes start here on the 20th, right? Sign up tomorrow night. Okay, good. At the ministry fair. Anything else? All right. The next one, and we're getting close to the end, prayer-focused ministry. Amen, Barney? If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, it seemed natural that we'd want to communicate with Him, right? We need God to show up if anything of any significance is going to be accomplished. And we're going to talk about prayer a little bit more next week as well. But we need to bathe everything we do in prayer. Everything that we do needs to be bathed in prayer. From the most minor thing, when we begin to do that, people, when we begin to realize that we can do nothing without God, and maybe it's not a drawn-out prayer vigil. Man, missile prayers, bullet prayers, any kind of prayer up to our God will be accepted. So we really need to, you know, we need to be in an attitude of prayer. We need to say, God, we need you. And that help is a great prayer, you know. I've said it a million times. The next one, true koinonia. That's a biblical term for fellowship, and that's a partnership. So we want to be a family. We want to be true fellowship. And this can be shown in the greeting at our services, okay? From where to park, where you sit. You know, there's a lot of people coming late. Really, we need to be people, the members need to be sitting up front and squeezing in, okay? Because especially now that we're going to be having more visitors, we need to be conscious about that and do those things. Because that's showing people that we care enough to sacrifice for them, okay? And then and where you serve and the attendance of the service. And allowing God to stretch you personally. Practice hospitality, we learned a month or so back in one of the things. And so we need to be asking people to come over to our house. All these kind of things. All right? True koinonia. We need to pursue each other. Because there's some people that will just not open up if we don't pursue them. And if you're one of those, just don't draw back from the body. If you're a member of this church and you're hurting and you just feel like nobody cares, do not draw back from this body. Because that's the devil's trick right there. The devil's trick is to get you on your own, you know, throw you off the ground like a useless brick, you know. You need to get back in the wall, all right? Biblically focused worship experiences. That's always been a priority at Living Hope and at Living Hope Bryan. And what that means is that your worship, when you come here to worship, you're not here to show off for anybody. You're here to biblically worship an audience of one. That's our God, you know. And if you're along with the guidelines of Scripture, you can worship any way you want to, okay? Because everybody, if you want to raise your hands, that's biblical, right? If you don't want to raise your hands, that's biblical. But don't let anybody beat you down to say that you got to worship a certain way. The only thing that tells you that is the Bible. The main thing is you just block everybody out and it's you and God. That's biblically focused worship experiences. And we try to preach the Word. I mean, when I get nervous, I told you, I just start reading Scripture. Because it's the Word of God that's going to change you guys. And so even as the training, and I can tell y'all, if I go something beyond the Word, I've got a safety net, which is Butch Smith and Alan Duty. You know, we get together and they say, what are you thinking? You know, but it hasn't happened too many times. A couple of times. A couple of times, they ironed it out for me, okay?
But
biblically, we want to preach the word. That's what we're talking about, to preach the word. That's what Paul told Timothy. He said, man, you're young. You don't know nothing. Preach the word. And so that's what we do. We preach the word. And we do that expositionally. We take God's word and we try and we say, this is what it says. This is what God's word said here. You got to deal with it. It ain't on me anymore. You know, we preach expositionally. And we hope that we're doing it like 1 Corinthians 2. Not out of great speech, not out of any clever little things, but under the demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's what we're hoping to do. And every time I'm up here before you, every time Brian, anytime that you stand before people, you need to ask God, God, give me the Holy Spirit because I don't have anything to offer otherwise. Okay? So biblically focused worship experiences. Because one thing we don't want to do, on a Saturday night, a lot of y'all have something y'all could be doing. We do not want to waste your time. And I'm going to tell you, if you think coming to church and hanging out with us is a waste of time, might as well get saved. because I'm going to tell you what, there's a lot of things that you can do that have no eternal value tonight. You are in the right place, just in case you didn't know that, okay? You're in the right place. Flexibility was one as an essential. Man, we're good at that. We're downright, we're like rubber. We're really flexible because this meeting was supposed to have been at Earl Rudder High School, okay? We already had the plan. You know, we had the plan. We were going to be at Rudder High School. God said, nope, you're going to be at St. Michael's. But I'm not going to tell you until the week before. So we do try to plan well. And I'll tell you, as leaders, I'll be the first one to tell you, we really need to work on that, you know, and our planning. And we are working on that. And we need each other. Y'all that have the gift of administration, would you pour into your elders? You know, but you know, because we need y'all. We need y'all. We need help in certain areas. Okay. Now, we pray. We're led by the Holy Spirit, and God's doing a lot of things. But I'm gonna tell you, I feel like the wheels are loose sometimes. So y'all come alongside us. We need y'all, man. We can't do this by ourselves. Okay. Flexibility, and I think that's one of our strengths. And then the very last one I'm gonna close with is stewardship. Fernando did an amazing job. Not long ago, preaching on stewardship and the money. And it's not just money, okay? It's your time, your treasures, and your talents. And I would say as a body of believers, it's the people that are coming in. We need to be good stewards of the people that God brings us in. That's why we have this kind of a body. And in 1 Corinthians 6:20, it says, you're not your own. Everything that you have belongs to God. It says you are not your own. You were bought at a price. See, so you need to be a good steward of yourself. Because as a Christian, you're not your own anymore. Okay? You're committed. You're not your own anymore. You're a new creation, and you belong to God. And that's it. Those are the essentials. Next week, we're going to talk about some of our vision, and I think it's going to be fun. I hadn't really quite got it down, but, man, I want to dream with you guys next week some because, man, I really think that God can do some amazing things, but he's going to have to bring the people to do it. Okay? But tonight, I just want to end by saying all these things, the essentials and the membership agreement. Man, if you still out there tonight and you're like, that sounds good for y'all, man, I beg you to consider where you stand with Christ. Because you can't be a member of anybody until you've accepted him as your Savior. And some of y'all have probably been coming to church and sitting for months, years, and never made that decision, you know. And I think about the rich young ruler, you know. Y'all got plenty of information. It came to him, Jesus asking. He asked Jesus what it would take. He said, I already do all those things. And Jesus said, go, sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and follow me. The man who had all the knowledge, all the money world, decided not to follow Jesus. And I beg you tonight, follow Christ. And all it takes is you saying, you know what, I may have been in church my whole life, but I've never committed, I've never done this, I've never submitted myself. I don't even love the church like Christ loved the church. But I'm here tonight, and I want to do that. We've got some cards in the back, in the visitor's card. If you want to write that down, if you want to talk to somebody about it, the gospel is clearly presented there, and I offer that to you tonight. But we're going to have a time of invitation here in a minute after I pray. And so if you want to just pray, you just want to say, God, I'm coming up short. You know, I need you to put that kind of heart in me. I want that, but I need you to do that. And so it's just a time for us to evaluate ourselves. And these times at the end of the service, you know, They're just times for us to evaluate ourselves, do work with God, and allow Him to be God. Let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank You for these people. God, most of this message, Lord, I just feel like I'm preaching to the choir because You have brought some amazing people to Living Hope Bryan. God, we got amazing leaders. We got amazing servants. But God, I know that there are those that have their name on the list that don't have the buy-in, God. And so I pray, God, that You would begin to convict hearts, Lord, and let them realize that, God, You want to use them. Lord, and anything that they do on their own will be unfruitful. And so, God, I pray You use this time of invitation, Lord, just to encourage those You need to encourage. Lord, again, tonight is Your night, and we thank You so much for being our God. Do what only You can do. Amen.